Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Thursday. A few minutes past 2 p.m. Rebecca Tallman is here. She is the executive director of Veterans Community Projects. We're already best friends here, just talking about all sorts of things. So very nice to meet you. Thanks for being in.
Thank you so much for having us today.
So tell us your story. First, tell us your story, how you got into this, and then we'll talk about the project.
Absolutely. So I retired from the Air Force in 2018, and I had found out about Veterans Community Project through CNN Heroes, where one of our veterans that founded this organization was nominated, and I knew at that point I had to be a part of it. And I retired, came to St. Louis, and was working in the civilian world, and I saw the tiny home that I knew from the videos and just knew I had to be a part of it. So I've been involved since 2021.
Very cool.
And it's just been an amazing journey.
Isn't it great? I've been doing volunteer work just very recently, and it's the best thing I've ever done.
Absolutely.
For me. Like, just purely selfishly. It's just the most rewarding thing. It's just so wonderful, isn't it?
I think it's great. I told someone the other day that I get the opportunity at this point in my life to do something that is going to possibly change generations. Mm. And just the fact of knowing that even just one change makes a huge difference, I feel very fortunate to be able to be a part of that.
You know, I think one of the problems, we've done a lot of work with veterans over the 24 years of the show. I think one of the problems that veterans in need have and homeless veterans have is that we can't look at it. We just can't believe that a United States military veteran is in that kind of trouble or in that sort of a situation. We don't want to face the reality of it.
Absolutely. I think there's often a misconception as well that just because someone is homeless, that they have PTSD or they have some type of substance abuse issue, which is not the case.
Yeah. So my brother, who passed in 2002, we found out after his death that he'd been homeless for about 6 months. He was a veteran during the Vietnam era. Mm-hmm. And same thing. He didn't have drug problems. He just was on disability and couldn't make ends meet and ended up spending a half year living in a park and, you know, living off the kindness of strangers.
It's heartbreaking. I've sat across from many individuals and heard their stories. And one of the things that I thought about was the fact that that could be my parents sitting across from me. And I could not know it. And that's what I've talked to veterans about is I've asked, do your kids know? Does your family know? And they've said they didn't want to burden them.
Yeah.
And so it's heartbreaking to think that that's a reality.
How big is the need?
The need is great. The need is everywhere. We have so many veterans in need, not just homeless, but our organization considers homeless as those individuals who do not have stability. So it could be couch surfing. It could be in a situation that's not safe. It could be street homeless. It could be any one of those sleeping in their car. And we have individuals who walk into our outreach center that's open every Tuesday from 10 to 2 that are facing eviction, that are facing things. I had a veteran recently who has multiple children, and just the thought of the holidays and how that's going to happen was difficult. Yeah.
So what do you guys do on a day? I know you have a big fundraiser coming up, the Burger Fest. Thanks for bringing in these burgers or having them sent to us from High Point. What do you guys do on a daily basis, day in and day out?
So we say it takes a community to raise a village. We're most well known for our transitional housing, our tiny home village mm-hmm. that we're building here in St. Louis. And we have in Kansas City, Longmont, Colorado, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And we'll, when we're done, we'll have 50 tiny homes here for transitional housing. Veterans stay with us for a little over a year is the average. But we work on case management. What got to that point? We had a veteran who's a resident with ours talking the other day on an interview say, he didn't mention anything about the house. He talked about the people. But the reality is we're creating that network of support. We're getting back into society. You can put someone in a house, but if you don't get to the root cause of what the issue is, it's going to happen over and over again. Yeah. So we're working with those individuals. We also have our outreach center where any veteran, regardless of time in service, type of service, or discharge status, which can be an issue sometimes, can receive services. And we do stuff from food boxes, snack packs, hygiene kits, resource referrals. We had a budget class with U.S. Bank and another one of our partners, Duo Dogs, the other day, where we brought in touch therapy dogs and learned budgeting, but with the option of having someone there to calm that anxiety because it's very nerve-wracking. So we do all kinds of things. The sky's the limit, and we're just happy to be doing what we're doing.
So every person's different, every situation's different, but do you see commonalities a lot? Do you see like things that a lot of them have in common as far as their past?
I really don't. It is such a wide range. We have veterans that have lived in all of our villages that range everywhere from 21 years old to 93 years old. And those situations could include someone who retired from service. And, you know, we've had veterans who worked their whole lives, were doing well, had a stroke, and couldn't take care of themselves. We have individuals who, you know, do have some PTSD issues from their time in service, or just really couldn't get back on their feet after service. Or, and again, that range is everywhere, but every story I hear is different.
Yeah.
Every individual is unique, and that's why I think the work that we do and how we do it is so important, because we don't approach it as this is what we need to do to fix the problem. It's every individual has a unique problem, and let's figure out what it's going to take to get
there. I recently did a national podcast with Wounded Warriors, and talking about people with PTSD, and one of them, I've never served, one of them made the point that I'd never had in my head before, which is, when I think about PTSD, I think about combat veterans, you know, people who are in the stuff. And they said that's not necessarily true. Certainly, people who see action have PTSD. But you don't have to. Just being in the military and having different situations and different deployments can do that.
Absolutely. I think sometimes just the high tempo of life, and then I'll tell you, I speak for myself. I have been seen at the PTSD clinic at Jefferson Barracks. I had deployments, but never combat deployments. And I really struggled after getting out of service, because I don't think it matters how long you served, what your service was like. Transition back into the civilian world and having folks that may not relate is difficult. And you lose your mission, you lose your purpose. And I had felt like I set everything aside for my career for so many years. And now I was back in the thick of it with my kids, trying to be mom again, trying to do all those things. And it was very difficult. And I have a husband who served 30 years and retired as well. And that transition, someone once told us that it will hit you at some point. You just won't know when, and it's going to be different for everyone. But there are a lot of things that we see with folks that it's not just combat veterans.
So we certainly want people to help financially. What if there's someone out there with a heart for helping and they want to do it like hands-on? What can they do?
Absolutely. So we have volunteer opportunities. You can go to our webpage at bcp.org, sign up to be a volunteer. We have things like working in our pantry, doing the construction for our tiny homes, groundskeeping, all kinds of different opportunities. But we also have, like I said, unique individuals that come to us with these wonderful ideas of how they can help. And we welcome all of those.
So this weekend, Sunday, is going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be like, you know, 68 degrees from noon to 3 p.m. at Four Hands in the District in Chesterfield, where I've not been yet because I don't have a life. I need to get out there. All the proceeds from the event will go to the organization. It's co-presented by High Point and Four Hands. $50 gets you burgers from 8 different burger joints, fries, and a paired beer, or $25 will get you a designated driver or child. That's very, very cool. That's going to be a fun event.
We are excited. All of us will be there. Our staff will be there. Volunteers will be there to talk to folks about our project. And we thank High Point and Four Hands and other sponsors and donors like that that help us continue to be able to do our mission here in St. Louis.
Rachel, want to give a little shout out to High Point?
Oh, I've been enjoying this burger very much.
I thought you were awfully quiet over there.
There's a big chunk missing, Rachel.
So good.
Someone took a bite out of Rachel. Yeah. Rebecca, it's a pleasure meeting you. Come back anytime. Open door.
Thank you so much.
You're
thank
very
you
welcome.
For having me.
Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX. Happy Thursday. This is a Friday for me. I took a day off. Tomorrow, we are getting into our crazy season here on the show. It's pretty crazy all year, but we have Operation Food Search coming up. That's always a nutty time, and raising money for people who are food insecure. We have the Halloween show coming up next week. I don't need to tell you why I'm taking a day off, but I'm taking a day off tomorrow because it is going to be a fun into the year. Razor's Edge?
Yes. Okay. I have from BuzzFeed some life hacks to make life just a little bit easier. And I thought these would be beneficial to share because, I mean, the first few I think are great.
Okay.
So let's go through these. We'll see if we agree. The first one is mostly for Andrew because I know you have a problem with
You don't have a problem,
but you tell me like, oh, I take pictures of things to make sure like I turn them off or I like posted the podcast.
Yeah, I have a very bad short-term memory. So I use photographs to help me remember, like,
you know, if I start doubting myself, like, ah, did I remember to do that? I can look at the pictures and go, okay, yes, I do.
So someone gave this tip. I will say it out loud when I turn stove burners off, unplug my hair curler, etc. I found this helps me eliminate those moments where I leave the house or I'm in bed and I'm suddenly like, did I leave that on? Hmm. So you just say out loud, I'm turning off the stove.
Do you guys do that?
Yeah, I do. And from time to time, I do say it out loud. I'll be like, remember this, because I will be on autopilot and then worry about it all day.
The only thing I ever done that with, remember when I thought I left my sprinklers on and I was freaking out?
Which time?
I do.
Yeah, I know. I've done it a few times. I just like, I don't know. It's one of those things where like I try to picture myself doing it. Like, I can't picture it. I'm not sure I did it today.
Does something bad happen if you leave the sprinkler?
Well, I mean, it can just, like, cause puddles in your yard, okay, your neighbor's
yard. Also, tons of costs water, you money as long as it's going.
Okay, here's the next life hack. Pour your liquid coffee creamer into your coffee cup before you pour in the coffee. The coffee pouring stirs up the creamer so you don't dirty a spoon.
It's pretty good.
Okay, instead of scrubbing the dishes, fill the sink with water, some dish detergent, and some OxyClean. Let them soak for a while, then just rinse. No scrubbing is required. It even takes care of stains in plastic. So I didn't know you could use OxyClean on stuff like that.
I don't think I've ever used OxyClean for anything.
They've got they got laundry versions of it and a bunch of,
I use that. I don't know
why. That sounds like my game right there, though. I don't need to scrub anything, just throw it in a... pool water. Of course, I have a dishwasher, so, you know, I roll like that.
There he goes, flexing again.
I roll like that.
I wish I had a dishwasher.
Yeah, me too.
So bad.
Okay, for chores that I don't like to do, like washing dishes. Oh, it just reloaded. Hold on. Okay, well, like washing a big pile of dishes, I set a timer for 4 minutes and tell myself I will do it for 4 minutes, and after the timer goes off, I can stop if I want to. Just giving myself an out makes it seem less cumbersome. Sometimes I quit after 4 minutes and pick it up again later, but I just keep going usually. Getting started is the hardest part.
It's kind of like what we talked about with people with ADHD. You know, that one task at a time, one little task at a time, next thing you know, the whole thing's done.
It is 100%. That is great advice, and it's a great way to do it. And I would find it impossible to say that to somebody without sounding like an adult baby.
Like, I'm going to do this for 4 minutes.
Right? Like, going, like, you know what I do?
Is I only got 4 minutes.
I tell myself that I only have to wash dishes for 2 minutes, and then I don't have to wash dishes anymore. It's like, that is a good advice because, again, getting started is the hardest part. And once you get started on a big chore or something, you're just like, I'll just knock it out since I'm already doing it.
See,
it's so hard to say that out loud.
It's a great way to ferret like out who you're talking to, because if you said that to me, I'd be like, that's genius. If you said it to Wheeler, he'd hit you with endless punches.
Yeah, he'd give me endless punches.
In the face. Okay, here's another tip. Store potato chips, tortilla chips, all kinds of chips in the freezer, whether they're open or unopened. They will never go stale. They don't freeze. They just get cold.
No idea.
You got cold chips.
Never heard that.
Yeah, but just let them sit for a minute and they're good. Or you microwave them. That's a great idea.
I'm not microwaving potato chips that I froze.
Maybe not potato chips, but I would do that for tortilla chips because they're better when they're hot.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good. Heat them up in the oven.
Yeah.
We're in crazy
town. Throw some cheese on there and melt it. It's almost like nachos.
Andrew denied me my tortilla chips today with Global Quesadilla because he was trying to save my money. So it was very sweet.
Nice.
But I would have rather had the tortilla chips.
I felt the opposite. I was worried that when I would get the chips, that I was worried that you were like, oh, you just...
Like, oh, Mr. Moneybags over here.
Right. Like, oh, so we're just getting chips now with everything. Okay. And so I was like, I'm not going to get the chips. I'm just going to get the quesadilla. We're getting burgers later. And then the first thing he said was... Where's the chips? Oops.
Here's another life hack. My grandmother always said, not my grandmother, but this person's grandmother, always said that if you feel terrible, get out of bed, take a shower, do your hair, put on some clothes, down to your shoes, and have a good meal. Either this will fix it, or at least you're dressed and fed and in a better place to deal with the problem.
There are times, even without COVID, like this 3-day weekend, maybe one of them, where I really couch rot, you know, like where you don't shower all day kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it really does help to take a shower and put on some decent clothes. Yeah.
I have seen people pushing back on the rotting thing, and I agree with it. The whole like, oh, I bed rotted and couch rotted all day. It's like, no, you rested. You work hard. So instead you chose on your day off to, I'm going to rest and just hang out and recharge on my couch or in bed or whatever.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with that too. But that term is becoming more and more common, the like couch rotting, bed rotting, whatever you might want to call it. It's like, well, sometimes
we have to shame everybody.
Yeah, it's like sometimes it is rotting if you're like, you know, unemployed or whatever.
But isn't it used like ironically sometimes? Like you're just joking about yourself? As opposed to like seriously being like, yeah, I didn't do anything and I feel bad. Normally it's just like it's a funny way to say I just chilled.
So now that I've been shamed about that, Kevin.
Shamed.
You guys ready for the next tip?
Sure, please.
Okay. Sometimes if I want to remember something in the future, I'll send a text to myself and schedule the text to be delivered to myself on the appropriate date.
I don't know how to do that, I couldn't live without the reminders on my phone.
Yeah. I mean, there's different versions of that. Yeah.
I didn't know you could even do that.
I will email myself a list. I did last night. If I ever have like a busy morning or like, you know, I absolutely have to get this done. I just email myself a list and I go off of that.
You open it up, you're like, oh, who's this now?
Yeah.
Like, oh, great, it's from me.
Who's blowing me up now?
This annoying girl is always emailing me.
I definitely have to put stuff in the calendar with the reminders. Like, you get the notification, like, here's the one. Like, depending on what it is, it might be one day in advance if it's something I might need to really prepare for. Or, you know, like, okay, 15 minutes before and at the time that I need to do it.
If you're somebody who doesn't get a lot of texts like me, though, that would be kind of a bummer. I'd be like, I got a text message. Which one of my friends? And I was like, oh, it's for me.
That's for me.
I texted myself.
I don't want to talk to this guy.
I don't want to talk to this guy.
Keeps blowing me up.
Let's do one more tip here. Always do a really good job cleaning right before you leave for a trip. There's nothing worse than returning to a dirty home when you're exhausted.
Amen.
And that's on top of all the laundry you'll need to do from the trip.
I'm like that. I won't even leave so much as like a spoon in the sink.
Really?
I don't want to come home to anything at all.
It's got to be a pleasant place to return to.
Yeah.
Yep.
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 Yeah! 233 DGS on Camo Wax. If you're listening on the venerated 1120, it's 2024. You can do better. So it's not so scratchy and unlistenable. You can go to 98.7 FM. I would say like if you're anywhere around between the rivers and Highway 40, but it's really like it goes down to South County and North County. So check it out. 98.7 in your car or at home on a radio. Best thing to do is to download Odyssey app. You go to odyssey.com, download it on your phone, your iPad, what have you. And it is crystal clear digital sound. Sounds as good as any station out there. You can also pause and rewind and stream and podcast. Thank you for the millions of podcast downloads we get every single year. That makes us stand out nationally with our company, makes us look good. We always appreciate that. So there's been a lot of news stories coming out the last couple of days about people waiting a long time in their cars just to get to the absentee polling places and waiting for a couple hours once they get in there. Good thing, one of our best buddies on the DGS is Kurt Barr, who runs the elections out in St. Charles. He joins us now. Hey, Kurt, welcome back, Bob.
Hey, Dave, thank you.
So walk us through it. What are we seeing, and what are the fixes?
Yeah, so St. Charles County has always been a election day vote county, and our early vote numbers have traditionally been low until 3 days ago. And then we just absolutely exploded with voter turnout. So 2 years ago, when the law changed to allow for this 2 weeks of voting early, we created a satellite location in the western part of our county over at Element Church, which has a massive parking lot. Yeah. And it's a great facility. And then so here, yeah, we have at the moment, we have a wait time of over an hour. I heard one voter say it took them an hour and 15 minutes in order to, you know, when they got in line to when they got done voting. At the Election Authority office, the wait time is actually pretty short. Once you get in line, it's only about 15 minutes. The problem we're having there is that MoDOT is doing construction outside of our building, and the cops are trying to help us with traffic control, but it's really slowing down who can get into our parking lot. We have a smaller parking lot, which really isn't able to handle the explosive growth of voters that we've seen. It's been sufficient in years past, but this year it is simply an insufficient parking lot. So we are working to, you know, move people in and out as quickly and safely as possible. And you know, the process, once somebody gets to Election Authority office, it runs pretty smooth. You know, like I said, most voters are waiting about 15, maybe 20 minutes at the Election Authority office. We also at the Election Authority office, we do the accessible curbside voting, where if somebody can't stand in line, they can vote in their car. And we do that there. And that has, from time to time, caused some congestion in our parking lot. So I've personally been outside directing traffic for a good part of today, just trying to make sure everything flows so that the voters are able to get in and be able to get their ballot and be able to get out. What I will say for voters in St. Charles County is, if they're in line, either by 4:30 at the Election Authority or 3 o'clock at our satellite location, Element Church, they'll get a chance to vote. But, we do have shorter hours during this early voting span of time than we would Election Day. So Election Day, we have all 104 polling places like we always have. Mm-hmm. And, the hours for Election Day voting is 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. And any voter at line at their assigned polling place will be allowed to vote before we shut down election night.
So obviously people like the convenience of this, but to me it also reads a lot of passion and excitement for this election.
Absolutely. I think the combination of Amendment 3 and the presidential election is bringing out a lot of people. And so I think that's what's really driving these record numbers that we're seeing in St. Charles County.
Is there any reasonable reason to think that this will help out on Election Day, so many people voting early?
Yes, absolutely. Early voting in states that have had it for longer has shown that it doesn't really increase overall vote turnout. It just spreads the vote turnout. So the fact that, we're seeing these long lines here at the two voting locations actually means that we're probably going to have more reasonable lines at the polling places. I'm projecting still overall a 75% turnout for Election Day, and I think that we're going to hit 20% turnout before Election Day even starts. So we're looking at 50, maybe 60% turnout on Election Day, and that's what we saw in 2020, and we really didn't have significant lines in 2020 just because so many people had voted early because of Corona.
All right, buddy, get back to work. We wish you luck.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
You bet.
Yeah,
interesting.
That spot that he's talking about, the construction's really jacking that area
that
up. Yeah.
Ish?
I think if I'm remembering right, it's at 70 and State Road 79.
Okay.
So it's right, because I think it's just to the north of that, and that's where the construction is.
It's unfortunate.
It's closed off part of that bridge there. Like the overpass, half of it's shut down, so there's a backup there. There's like a grocery store on the other side of the highway, and like a Deerberg's, and there's fast food and all that stuff there. And then if you go north, it's where the building is. But all of that gets jacked up every day.
You guys going to try to early vote? Are you going to plan on Election Day?
No, we early vote. I don't know when, but I like to do it early.
I never thought I would care to vote early because I it's Election Day.
Election Day.
But I don't know, after hearing about these long lines, Election Day seems like it'll be wild. So I kind of want to get it out of the way a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if this will be like record turnout. You know what I mean? Like nationwide.
Well, I mean, like with Amendment 3, that's a huge deal. Uh-huh. And I've heard people say like, well, that's going to give Lucas Kuntz a chance because all these Democrats are going to come out to vote in favor of it. But I think the same could be said on the other side. I think there's just as much passion on both sides of this. How are you feeling about Amendment 2?
Sports betting?
I feel like I hear way more support than I hear opposition. Even for people that don't care about sports or don't care about betting on sports, the idea that there's currently revenue leaving the state to go to Kansas, Illinois, Arkansas for people that want to bet or people that are just circumventing it in different ways, why not take advantage of that? It's happening. The bets are being made, yet Missouri's not benefiting from it. And if you don't pass it, that's going to continue to be the case. Mm-hmm. I understand the opposition to it. Amy really outlines it well when she talks about the negatives of it. But again, like to me, the practical side is if this fails, the bets are still going to happen. It's still going to happen, and the state will get no benefit from it. Versus the bets happening and other people. I mean, they set it up. They always do it for the schools. Hopefully that would actually work out that way. But either way, it's lost revenue, regardless of where it's going. If you don't do it, that revenue is going somewhere else.
Speaking of sports and legalities, can you kind of walk us through what's going on with Kroenke? Is that still happening where he's trying to buy the thing for a dollar?
Yeah, so there in the original lease agreement with St. Louis, there was a clause put in there that after 29 years, they could have the right to purchase Rams Park, that all that land there right over in Earth City, they'd be have the option to purchase that for a dollar. And I think the question now, the opposition from the St. Louis side, it's actually not, obviously not the city, but the opposition from this side is, wait a minute, no, you guys broke the lease agreement. It's one of the reasons you just paid us $800 million, $790 million.
That is ballsy.
Yeah.
On his behalf.
That's him, though. That's Stan. Stan is, there. He's, I guess I'm going to put this as in a somewhat nice way. He's wrong in the head. There's something wrong with Stan. He's not right. He's not normal. He's not okay. He's got the greed where no matter what, if he can squeeze every last dollar out of something and someone, he will. Bernie, when we talked about this on our roundtable, I think on Monday, and Bernie brought up the example. He bought like one of the largest ranches in the United States, and there were people that were living on the land, like on the edges of that ranch, for generations, people that live there for generations, and he just bought it and threw them all off. Like their entire family history was on that land. He just threw them off. One person committed suicide because they had nowhere else to go and they didn't know what to do. You know, they were distraught over this. But Stan couldn't care less. He just, I want it, so you're gone. And it's kind of like the, he's very... trying to think of the right way to put it, because I'm not trying to diminish anybody that has real normal mental health issues, but he's got something wrong with him that he doesn't get treated, that he doesn't seek treatment for, and it leads to him harming other people. It leads to him doing bad things to other people for his own selfish gain. And that's what it is. That was the reason he moved the Rams to LA, because it just selfishly benefited him. I mean, it made the franchise value go up, which makes his net worth go up, and that's literally all he cares about. And in this case, it almost feels a little bit too like a middle finger back to this area, because, you know, well, we won the lawsuit, but I'm going to get every last dime out of you that I can, and we'll see how that plays out legally. But it's an interesting thing, because one of the reasons they had to pay the city, the state, you know, the county, one of the reasons they had to pay was that they broke the lease agreement by doing what they did, because they broke, they didn't negotiate in good faith. We found that out as that whole thing played out.
I mean, as a lawyer, it sounds laughable.
But he's shameless. Like I said, if it meant, we were joking earlier about punching in the face. If there was a dime on the ground and he thought he could get that dime by punching you in the face, he would punch you in the face.
Yikes.
Yeah. I don't think he really actually would do that, because he's a coward, but... I mean, like, if you'd said you can't have that dime unless you punch Dave in the face, he would punch you in the face.
Welcome back, 251 DGS on KMOX. Man, it's pretty out the KMOX window. What a day. Mm-hmm. What a stretch. I'm not even freaking about, like, 82 degrees next week. Like, okay, anything that and below, I'm cool with. Plus, today's, like, breezy and a little bit chilly. Mm-hmm. Last night got down to like 45. Rock on.
Yeah, you know when it's like 8, it says it's going to be 80 on Tuesday. You know when it's 80 on Tuesday, 78 on Wednesday, it's not going to be like super humid.
Impressive.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's going to be there's going to be a breeze. It's going
to
be...
What's the coldest you guys will open up your windows and just sleep on natural as opposed to the furnace?
Oh, like 40. 40 or 50. I like it cold.
Me too.
I guess that too. I mean, I don't have like a set number. But if it feels nice outside, I'm opening the window.
Yeah, we just keep the house basically like 68 to 70 year round. So whatever.
How old are you?
What do you mean?
That's an old guy thing.
No, it's not. My parents have theirs like 76.
Uh-uh.
Oh, it's the worst.
No, it's not.
Mine is set at like 78, but I live in a small apartment. So I feel like it's like a different situation.
78.
But it doesn't feel like 78. It feels very pleasant. Very nice.
Yeah, upper 60s is kind of the play.
Throwback Thursday?
Yes, 54 years ago in 1970, President Nixon asked record companies to reduce the number of songs containing lyrics about sex and drugs.
That worked out well.
Yeah, that was, you know. Would have been a terrible business decision.
It all stopped from that moment forward.
That was the last time that happened.
Never since. It's been sunshine and rainbows.
46 years ago in 1978, Keith Richards was convicted in Canada of heroin possession, for which he received a one-year suspended sentence and was ordered to play a charity concert for the blind.
Jeez. Seems blind. A bit such gratuitous.
Such a Canadian punishment.
Yeah.
Your punishment is you got to go do what you love doing the most.
Right.
For people who really need it.
Yeah.
Let this be a lesson to you.
I mean, at least it did raise some money for a good thing.
Yeah.
35 years ago in 1989, televangelist Reverend Jim Baker was sentenced to 45 years in prison and fined $500,000 for his conviction on 24 counts of fraud and conspiracy stemming from his Praise the Lord ministry.
Jeez. Is he still in prison, do you know? Anyone know?
That's a great question. Let's Google
him. I do not know.
I feel like he got out. That was Tammy Faye, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. He's 84 years old. Jim Baker. PTL, imprisonment. Sorry, Wikipedia is not making this easy to figure out.
Oh, man, that's like the first thing you got to tell me at Wikipedia.
I know. There should be a little box at the top that's like, are you currently in prison, yes or no? All right, we'll figure it out on the break because I'm wasting a lot of time right now. 35 years ago in 1989, again, Zaza Gabor was sentenced to 72 hours in jail, 102 hours of community service, and nearly $13,000 in fines and court costs for slapping a traffic cop.
That's hot. Everything about that's hot. Zaza in prison, that's hot.
I found the Jim Baker thing.
Yeah. Okay.
He was released in 1994 after serving less than 5 years.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Thank God.
I'm sure he learned his lesson.
Oh, okay. I'm sure he didn't go right back into
it. If I'm not mistaken, he's out there doing some of that same stuff now.
Why wouldn't you? If you can pull those kind of shenanigans and go away for 4 years, why not?
Yeah.
27 years ago in 1997... That doesn't even sound right. Like coming out of my 27 years ago in 1997. Yeah. Yikes. Don Messick, the voice of Papa Smurf, Scooby-Doo, Astro on the Jetsons, and Bam Bam on the Flintstones, passed away at the age of 71.
Wow.
What an
impressive
icon. Yeah. 19 years ago in 2005, civil rights pioneer Rosa Parks passed away at the age of 92.
Mm-hmm.
And 18 years ago in 2006, the Hannah Montana soundtrack was released. So I guess that's just as important as Rosa Parks.
Yeah, right.
Reading what's on the sheet.
Yeah.
18 years ago, also in 2006, Taylor Swift released her self-titled debut album featuring her hits Teardrops on My Guitar, Picture to Burn, Our Song, and Tim McGraw.
In what year?
2006.
I thought she was younger than that.
No, she's like 35.
Yeah, she's like
she was a teenager when that was released, so...
Fair enough.
And one more for you, Dave. 10 years ago in 2014, John Wick was released starring Keanu Reeves.
That's kind of crazy.
It made $86 million worldwide, launched 3 sequels, and all started with a dog.
Did you hear they had to have a legal battle about Keanu's beard in that? The producers of the film said that John Wick doesn't have a beard. He can't have a beard. And I guess the director said he's going to have a beard. And they actually had to go fisticuffs over it legally.
To tell this because the writer had it down the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.